right, I'm trying to rap.
Sarah, why don't you give us an intro?
Yo, what?
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
No, but you're so good at it.
I think you'd be good at it.
No, I think you are best.
Sarah, yeah.
No.
Come on.
Okay, fine. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Most High Show. I am not Christian, but I am Sarah with an H doing the intro today for Christian to my this side right here. And then we have Dylan over there in the honorable seat of service.
Oh, I love this seat.
And then also joining us today is a very special guest. We have Josie. Say hi, Josie.
Hello.
And Christian did not tell me what we were doing tonight, so now he can take over the rest of the intro.
Lies from the pit of Sarah with the H hell. We are doing a Most High meeting tonight. It's going to be a little different. We're going to throw out some topics. Everybody in the room is welcome to answer and participate. We have no dues or fees. But this shit is expensive, so yeah, and that's gonna be it. So thank you everybody for joining us. Leslie's doing quality control, and my man Chad's on the ones and twos.
Good job on the intro.
Thanks. I didn't feel awkward at all.
So I want to start with a light question. You just warm us up, you know. So I don't go too heavy, too hard, too fast. It's like it's overwhelming. So if you have a regret from your active addiction days, what is it? Or what regret have you healed the most from?
This is a light question?
Yeah, something light. Just to get it started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So who would like to go first?
I'll kick us off. A lot of my regrets are on my friggin' skin, man.
Bad tattoos?
Yeah. Well, you know, because, when you're high or drunk, and you just ain't making good decisions and your judgment's bad, man. You don't make the best decisions. I don't know really anything else I would have got. I mean, I'm not, like, completely unsatisfied with what's going on. But you know what? In a different scope to answer that question, if I was to really regret something, you know, it would probably be the time that I've wasted on just getting high.
What took you a while to get to that?
Yeah.
You danced around to get to that.
Yeah, I mean, but still, if I live with regrets and stuff, you know, the thing about it is the bad things that's happened to me or the stuff that I feel like I should regret, if it didn't happen, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Come on, what?
Why are you staring at me like that?
You don't have any response to that?
I do. It's hard to follow that, though, because I don't have, like, any... It's hard for me to think of any standout regret from my using days, just because, like, I remember carrying shame with me when I got sober, but there's so much that I'm just like, yeah, that's part of my story. It doesn't weigh as heavy as it used to. It's not really shameful, you know, other than like family relations stuff, because, you know, even almost 3 years later, there's still some sore spots, and every now and then it's just like, oh, that one is still a little spicy, but, you know, it's not something that constantly, like, weighs me down, being like, oh, I'm, like, this terrible person. But nothing specific.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, the question, I was waiting for that answer about, oh, everything worked out, and so I don't regret anything, which is great. But if we think about it, we did some fucked up shit. And it's kind of like, I wish, prefer that didn't happen, right? Oh. Like, mine specifically was there was always one memory I had. I might have shared this on here on the show before, but I had a memory of wanting to go downstairs into the basement to do drugs, and then my son wanted to come downstairs with me, and he's like a little kid, a little five-year-old or whatever. And I didn't let him come, you know, I left him at the top of the stairs, shut the door, locked it, so I go do my drugs, and he was upstairs crying. Right? And that was a big regret that I always had, and any time I would share it, I mean, I would well up and cry, and over time, I've become at peace with it, you know? But we have to have some regrets, otherwise there wouldn't be parts of the process called cleaning up the wreckage of your past,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, reality is we do need to go back and fix some things. We wouldn't have to fix them if we didn't break them.
Yeah.
So the amending of these relationships or situations or whatever is an admission of, yeah, I kind of messed that up. Yeah. What do you got, Josie?
Yeah, at first I had to think about it because I kind of felt the same way. Like anything that I did kind of got me to this point. But I definitely regret how I let people treat me, specifically men that I dated. I have two kids, and I wouldn't say like I regret them. What I regret is the type of role model or example I was setting when I was drinking, because now I feel like there is a lot of cleaning up to do to show them that it's not okay to treat women this way, and it's not okay to let anyone treat you this way. Like a lot of arguing and fighting, and you know, I would get really lazy. Alcohol is my drug of choice. So, you know, not keeping promises and stuff like that. And just allowing people to, you know, walk all over me because I didn't love myself or care about myself. Like I had zero self-esteem. And so I do regret that. And like one thing that I'm working on is forgiving myself before I can like even forgive anybody else. But yeah, I definitely, you know, because children, you know, people will say like, oh, they're just small, they're going to forget, you know, but it, you know, that kind of stuff impacts them. And so, you know, now it's like I have to work not only on myself, but now I have to also work on, you know, on them and like therapy and conversations and, you know, having difficult conversations. Like I'm in sober living and they're with my parents. So having that conversation with my oldest son. So, you know, I don't regret the fact that I'm getting sober. I love it. I just regret the way that it got to that point. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. We interviewed, move the mic closer.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. What's your name again?
Skylar.
Thank you, Skylar. I should remember that. I have a cousin named Skylar. He's a boy.
I'm a girl.
I don't have a cousin named Clayton. I do now, cuz. Oh, what's up? So the question for the audience, and I wouldn't even say your audience, this is, we're having a Most High meeting here, so we're all in here, so we're all going to participate. The question was, what if you have regrets from your days of active use or destructive behaviors, what are some of your regrets, or what regret have you healed the most from? Anybody else want to answer that?
You know, you're providing roof over my head. I was still stealing, pawning your stuff, doing what I need to do to get my fix. That's one that's really hard for me. And putting my family in trouble.
Yeah.
That's something we're still working on. I don't know if we can ever go from some of it. It's so bad.
It takes time. You know, I think people do. I know I think relationships can be. You know, for some it takes time. But sometimes what it is it may never return to what it was. But that doesn't mean that it's not repaired or healed or good for what it is today,
you know. If that fan's too loud. Yeah. What about you, Cuzzo?
Things in my past that I wish didn't happen or wish it happened differently, you know, most certainly. I certainly regret, I hate that the people that I hurt the most, the people that I let down the most, are the people that are closest to me. That I wasn't there for those people more. But at the same time, it took everything that happened, it took everything that I went through to get me to my turning point, to get me to where I am today. And I truly feel incredibly blessed and thankful to be where I am today, to be in recovery. I think it's a beautiful opportunity. You know, people that aren't in recovery, people that don't suffer from addiction, people that, they don't get the opportunity to work on themselves like we do, you know? Most people, they just go through lives, they don't evaluate where they're at, you know, what they're doing, if it's good, if it's bad. They don't do a lot of the deep self-work that we do. And I think that's an awesome opportunity that we had being in recovery. So,
it's a gift and a curse.
It really is.
So, the question was, is if you have a regret, what is it? And or what do you regret and have you healed from it? So, maybe the way that the question was structured.
Not the syntax.
No, I ain't blaming. You know.
Do you want to diagram the whole sentence for us?
So I was just
subject.
You know, it was the first thing I heard, and I was like, you know, okay. So, but at the end of the day, it's like even people asking like, why you got a tattoo on your face or whatever, and it's like, I guess the bullshit that comes with it, where you're just like, man, I've had to say this 100 times, you know, but it's always a conversation piece, and all of them are really, you know, you get down to it. But it's also a reminder that I've made bad decisions before in my life, and that, you know, that's not something I want to do anymore. You know, I don't want that to reflect who I am. So I might feel like I regret it a little bit, but hell, I'm me. Regardless, so, and I have to embrace that, and then others have to embrace that, and also have to realize, like, you know, I wasn't built to please other people. Like, I gotta remember, like, if I sit and I dwell on all the things that I've suffered with, then I won't heal from them, you know. A lot of the things that, like, and I've also struggled with, like, relationship stuff too. But my healing came from, like, I made a whole album one time, that was just, you know, like, to me, sad music, but it was like purging that shit out of my heart, 'cause I was just, you know, going through it. But, yeah, I mean, it took me. This is the warm up question. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to ease into it.
Okay. So, I think maybe it's important to note the difference between guilt and shame, right? Like, guilt can be constructive, right? So, that's why you take a practice test, you know, or you make a mistake and then, okay, cool, let's do it again, right? And shame is where you're like tying yourself or your own well-being to the thing that you might have messed up or not done right or whatever. And so guilt can be a good teacher for us. And I think, like, especially like being a creative, it's a lot of mistakes, you know. We were watching something that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And I like showing it to another creative person because she doesn't have to say anything. I can feel the energy of like, yeah, this sucks. But
wait, no, you're making it sound like I was emitting energy of this sucks.
You weren't, but I could
not,
tell.
I was not.
Yeah, but I could tell it needed improvement, right? So is that a failure, right? Or is that like, you know, so the idea that we have to be right, like perfect, is freaking crazy. Somehow we picked that up. Like, we have to get it right all the time, right? And I think to acknowledge that you are human is to acknowledge that you're not always going to get it right. And that's okay, because we can use things like guilt or regret to go, all right, like, I know what I did to get to that point, and I'm not going to do that again. Right. And if we just try to breeze past it and be like, well, you know, and does that make sense what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. So feeling that sense of like, ah, man, I screwed that up. I could do better next time. I think is important.
Guilt's more like your own personal constructive criticism.
Yeah. Guilt. She said guilt is more like your own personal constructive criticism. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. All right. Next question. What do you do when life gets hard? How do you cope today?
Hmm. Don't be sad. Go get a tattoo. That's what the internet says.
Yeah, I'm now taking requests for appointments if you want to schedule something. So just
ink therapy.
Ink therapy. Let us know.
Dr. Dylan.
So what do you do when life gets hard?
That one's tough. Because it depends. What's hard? You know? Is it job? Is it family? Is it other personal relationships? Is it myself? Like, where is it hard? And so I know for me, like, my default when stuff gets hard is to go outside. Literally just, like, drink water, sit in the sun. You know, like that little meme that says, I'm just a complicated houseplant with emotions. And it's like, I am. I just need to, you know, if I'm having a bad day, I'm like, I want to go to the river. I want to go to the lake. I want to go sit on a mountain and just be surrounded by trees and not people. And I just want to hear the birds. And I want to hear, like, I don't care if there's like a million cicadas outside. I can hear them. And that makes me feel like less crazy. Just being connected back into, I mean, I can't control nature. I don't know anybody who can control nature. Nature just exists and it is. And for me, it's like that reminder of whatever is hard right now, whatever is happening that I have no control over, it just is. And I'm living in it. And so, like, what can I do about it or what can't I do about it? And for me, just being outside is that little reset. And then sometimes getting outside is too hard. So I just stay in bed and watch movies and cry, and it's okay. You know, like, it's balance.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. What they try to do in Dubai, they try to control the weather, right? You hear about that? They're doing all the clouds to create rain. And it worked, and it was working brilliantly. And then it got out of control, and it flooded Dubai. You see that?
Oh, in Dubai.
Yeah,
I did see that.
That's like the HARP, you know? That's like an old conspiracy theory from back in like Tesla's day. Yeah, HARP, that's in the collar. It's in, no, like H-A-A-R-P. It's a...
A-A-R-P?
No. Not that, yeah. I don't know. Christian might be. I'm just playing. No, it was HARP. It was a conspiracy theory that they were controlling the government in the United States, and it's in Colorado. It's a facility. You can look it up on... It's not even a conspiracy thing. There's actual... they took Tesla's research...
And
where, yeah, because they were making like synthetic lightning and stuff like that, and that creates the humidity and moisture and stuff in the air, so it can in fact do that. But you do it on a massive scale, I guess. You know, I'm getting way off topic, you know.
Yeah, how does this help you when life gets hard?
I don't know, but
maybe you do a lot of research when life gets hard,
right? Well, you know, that's the thing sometimes. I don't know. The grounding techniques, like what you're talking about, going outside and just feeling nature, that tends to work sometimes. But it's just been too fucking hot lately. And yeah, you might have identified some truth in that. If life gets hard, which last week was stressful for me, you know, it was like a lack of, like, I was like, I think I had like $8 left in my bank account. Like, I was just like spent, you know. I done paid probation and bills, and I'm trying to, you know, save up enough money so I got gas. I had court yesterday. I had to do, you know, just all this crazy stuff. Life was just sucking. And like the only thing I could do was really just lay in bed and watch Romans.
And cry?
I didn't cry. I don't do that.
Let it out. It's crazy. Okay.
Now, I take naps, you know? I was talking to Christian the other day. I was like, man, I got the freedom to take a nap. You know, and that's cool. When life gets hard, sometimes I just need a reset. Because, you know, and I've been falling back to that old little acronym, you know, that they teach you in early sobriety, where it's hungry, angry, lonely, tired, the halt. And that's the thing, man. I was driving down the road the other day, and I'm like, man, it's just, didn't feel good. But I knew I hadn't eat anything, and, like, my stress was high, but I was like, I needed to eat something. And so I went and ate something, and I felt better. A little bit of clarity came back just because I was depriving myself of stuff that I needed. But when life gets hard, I always try to identify what it is. If I can satisfy my body or my mind on the bare necessities of what it needs, if I'm keeping myself, if I'm depriving myself, I got to try to identify that first. Because life, when it gets hard, that means it's, like, stressful. It's going too fast. I'm not taking care of myself. And so, yeah, I just got to reset on that minimalist level, you know.
Mm-hmm. You want to go?
I'm having a hard time with that. In a perfect world, I would say, yeah, I go outside, I read a book, I journal. But I'm struggling to find what it is that I enjoy doing when I do get really overwhelmed. And for a little bit, excuse me, I was doing things for, like, that instant gratification, like adrenaline rush type of thing. And it was not good, not great at all. And so now, like, I'll take a nap, or I'll just kind of sit, but I'm also trying to not just sit on my phone and just be, like, scrolling. And, you know, an hour goes by and I don't even know what I've been doing. I like cleaning up and, like, organizing. And, you know, I really want to develop more hobbies. But, like, the problem is that once I get, like, really overwhelmed or stressed, I kind of just freeze. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel stuck. And so if I can get myself to actually get up and go outside, like last Sunday, I was kind of feeling that way. And someone called me. And I washed my car by hand for the first time, and I don't even know how long. It took hours, but it felt good to get outside and, like, clean my car and detail it myself. And then that boost of energy, I went, like, grocery shopping, and then I organized, and then I went to the pool. So it's like I have to get myself up and moving. So that's the only thing. It's like if someone doesn't call me and I'm just, like, in that stuck feeling, I don't know how to get myself out of it.
Yeah.
That's like the time when the phone feels like it weighs 2,000 pounds.
Yes.
It's like, I know this is going to help me, but also I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And you told me, you know, it's okay also to just sit and do nothing sometimes. Because I'm so used to my life, like, moving, like, high stress job, kids, go here, go there. And now that I've taken a step back in my life, there's times where I just feel uncomfortable, you know, sitting and doing nothing. And I'm like, am I being lazy? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? It's like, I need to be more patient with myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When life gets hard, I complain. That's
yes,
what
you
I do.
Ask anybody, ask him about the AC in this building.
Uh-huh. I complain. That's my first go-to, is to bitch about it. Yeah. And then I usually feel a lot better after I've bitched about it.
You got to purge it.
I got to purge it. Leslie says I got to release and let go. Mm. So sometimes, like, I'll, like, text her and go, can I release and let go something? And then she'll be like, okay. And then I just let it fly. Sometimes I don't ask permission and I just let it fly. But that seems to help me to just get it out, because ultimately it's all, I mean, there are real things going on that make life hard, but my response to those real things is usually can make it a lot more harder. So I think I used to judge myself for complaining first.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, dude, it is what it is. And then
like every other person who is like me or has even more time in this journey, they call me and then bitch. And I like, this is awesome. Like, you seem to have it really together and you're calling me to bitch, which means that I'm not that far off from the mark, right? Like, you still lose it. Life still gets hard. People act stupid and you're like, what the hell? And they need to bitch. And then I think it's a great honor to be able to take those calls from some of those guys who are like, you know, I think any of us would see them in society and go, whoa, these are like the real deal grown-ups here, you know? And to hear that they have the same mind that I do, that completely loses it over a tiny thing or something, and or everything's been stacking up in their head and they just need to get it out. So that's cool to witness and be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Taking the calls when someone's just bitching, like, those are my favorite. Because then they always like, oh, I'm sorry, I just like loaded all that on you. And I'm like, no, I love it. Is there more? Like, keep going. Yeah. It gets me out of my head because I'm like, oh, your problems are real. Mine are made up.
Yeah, there you go. It does help. Yeah. One of them will always be like, I know these are quality problems. You know, it tries to like, but you know, you can't, that's what we do though. We'll compare ourselves to other people. I think mm-hmm. like a lot of people who work like with, in crisis intervention, you know, they're spending so much time putting people's fires out in their lives, and their lives are fucking dumpster fires and they have nothing. And then, so they can kind of go, well, then my problems aren't really that big. Cause I got power, I got water, I got a house, I got a job, I got this. But I think when we minimize our own experience, we're invalidating our own experience. And that's like, I don't think that leads to anything healthy.
No, but you can also, something my mentor says all the time is, or she actually has not said it in a while, but what she used to tell me all the time was, I don't know the difference between a heart attack and a hangnail. And so being reminded that what I'm going off about is really a quality problem helps put it in perspective. When 3 years ago, I literally didn't have a home, you know, like mm-hmm. 3 years ago, mm-hmm. I was sleeping in my car, bouncing from hotel to hotel and being like, oh, and now my problem is I have too much furniture for where I live and I have to pay for a storage unit. Mm. Like, do I like the extra expense? Absolutely not. But what a nice problem.
Like, yeah.
Cadillac.
First world problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that sometimes it's not even, I think there's a difference between complaining and venting. To me, it's like complaining, you're just going off and you want no solution to your problems. You just want to, but when you're, you know, and then when somebody's like, hey, you know, it's not that bad, or like, here, I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I think we all know someone like that where it's like, they just complain and it's like, they're not solution oriented versus like venting, where it's like getting it off your chest, getting something off your mind, but then feeling that relief. To me, it's different because I've had to really differentiate between that, because I'm like, well, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, like, you know, or I sound like ungrateful, but it's not that I'm ungrateful. It's just that, gosh, I mean, our feelings are valid. I'm just frustrated and I'm venting.
Yeah.
And some people, I'm an external processor, so I have to talk it out. And sometimes while I'm talking it out, I'm going, oh, I know the answer already as I talk it out. I'm an external processor. Mm-hmm. So I think like as we continue, you start to learn things about yourself. And the key is to accept it. Like, oh, that's the way I am. I'm an external processor. So I'm going to need to talk my shit out. Like, it is what it is. What about the crew over here? You guys have anything to add? How do you deal when life gets hard?
Like literal rabbit holes?
Like on
that's how she goes outside. Yeah, yeah.
She's like an ostrich.
Something will pique my interest and then I want to know everything about it, especially when I'm really stressed out. I'm like, fuck everything else. Let me take my mind off of it and let me go down rabbit hole. I know useless information off that.
Like what?
What was your most recent rabbit hole? Like, not to put pressure on you. I am also a rabbit holer.
You're looking for a phone.
You're being a cord roller.
I've had many.
Hold on. Wish you were on mic for what you just said.
My most recent has been like holistic. Yes. Health and lifestyle.
That's not a rabbit hole. That's a whole lifestyle.
No, but I've been like, there's different things to do. There's different ways to do it, and how do you want to go about it? And I've been doing a lot of that.
Okay.
I've been doing what I call witchy shit.
Hey, yes. It wasn't obvious.
Yeah. I was like, but like with my plants and my herbs and then this and then ghost sitting in dirt is literally what I call it. To go ground myself. I'm like, I need to go sit in dirt. I feel better. A couple weekends ago, we went kind of like disc golf and it started to rain and I wasn't happy. We're in the middle of the forest. I'm getting soaked, but I'm happy. I feel the water cleansing me for good.
Dancing.
I was dancing.
If you're you're surrounded by trees and it's raining, if you're not dancing, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you.
That's the that's the Lord's nightclub right there. That's the Lord's.
No, that's God's water.
That's God's water. That's the Lord's nightclub right there. That's how the Lord throws a party. He says, let's make it rain.
But literally,
though.
But like I do that, but then like sometimes I'll catch myself not doing what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have to like I do this weird reversal because like there for a while of my adult life, like I had it fucking together. Young 20-year-old, and I had my shit together. And I'll think back to then, and I'm like, I was there once, let me get back. And then I'll humble myself depending on the situation. I had a shit job with it. So I'll be like, well, at least I have shit. At least I have a roof over my head. There's food in the fridge. Like, I may not have a car, but I still have the privilege to be here. And it's kind of like humbling myself. But
not.
I don't know. It's really
not
described.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, I think you described it really well, actually. Mm-hmm. It was just putting it in comparison. Kind of like, because I'll do the same thing where it's like I'm complaining about, oh, I have to spend this money on a storage unit, but I used to sleep on the floor because I didn't have a bed. Like, it's like, let's look at, okay, this is an upgrade, not fun, but, you know, that perspective helps keep me in balance with, like, my gratitude and perspective on life.
Mm-hmm.
But gratitude, I got.
You're on your way there then. Well, when we got this office space and we were in here, we'd moved a lot of stuff in, and I'm just thinking of all the responsibility now, right? All the overhead, all the expenses, and I'm going, so I didn't even take a second to be like, this is cool. And I don't remember who it was. It might have been Leslie that asked me. Somebody asked me basically like what would, like 5 years ago, would you have seen this coming into fruition, right? And that was all it took to kind of snap me into it to go, oh man, 5 years ago I was dreaming about having a place mm-hmm. where we could all get together and hang out mm-hmm. and eat tacos and just be together. Like that, I was dreaming about a place like this. And so that immediately snapped me into gratitude. But it wasn't my default. My default was
complain about it.
Complain about how we going to pay these bills now, you know what I'm saying? Cousin Clayton, what you got on that?
Well, Chris, when I tell you what we're not going to do, we're not going to stop. And when stuff gets hard, I don't know, I don't sit well. I don't relax well. It's like 24/7 usually going. If I'm sitting down for like 30 minutes or something like that at the house, I'm like, all right, I gotta do something. So, I mean, when things get hard, I mean, my anxiety peaks. So I gotta double down. I gotta keep doing stuff and taking care of stuff. The only way for me to like get out of that at this point, because I no longer have drugs and alcohol to be able to check out, not think about those things. You know, in my past, it would be completely check out, not take care of those things that were stressing me out. Whatever happens, happens, and it's usually not good. So now, I mean, the only way through it is to do it. And I got a self-care list. I mean, I got tons of stuff on that list. That's one of my, I got a lot of hobbies, and I love doing them all, so I mean, it's pretty easy to pick something off that list. But when I get really stressed out and stuff, really the only way to truly get rid of that anxiety and stuff is with some like, real vigorous physical activity. So, you know, for me, like my favorite one is mountain bike. Like I mean, I'm a big nature guy, so I love biking, kayak, and all that kind of stuff. But really to get up in that cardio range, that is such a release of your anxiety.
What kind of chicken scratch handwriting you got, dog? Man. Okay, I can read it. It says, what's your favorite part about being sober? And what do you like most about being sober? You know, that's crazy. My favorite part about being sober is that I have I've got the freedom now. Because, I mean, I don't know, it's crazy. And not just, like, literal freedom, because, like, every time I'm, I would take a Xanax, I'd literally break out in handcuffs. I'd be in jail, you know what I mean? Now it's like I can make choices. Whoa, like all the doors open up. You know, and I can maintain relationships, like good ones. You know, I can kick it with people and it's not, I'm not thinking about robbing them or, you know, doing some crazy stuff. I mean, this is for real. Yeah, I mean, for me, yeah, just being sober is probably the coolest part about being sober because I ain't got to have something in my body to make me go anymore. But yeah, I think I really enjoy. It's such a broad question. Yeah, I like it that I can wake up and I ain't got to get high no more. I ain't got to. It was literally crawling out of bed, you know, if I even went to sleep, you know. But, yeah, mainly, like, just being able to show up and be a part of life now. It's crazy to me. It's almost like I'm high just being sober. I'm high on being sober, so I don't know. That's such a broad question, but that's what I got for it.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite part is the friendships. Like I would get high today if it didn't mean that I would lose like all these great relationships I have. You know, mm-hmm. Like they're so worth it. The other thing that is I like waking up sober, not having that like hangover from the night before or I've not gone to bed, mm-hmm. You know, like I like mornings. I actually enjoy freaking mornings. Like I'm the most creative. So I think those are really my two favorite parts. It's the relationships, all the friends, not just the friends. It's just that quality of the relationship. It's so real. It's so honest. There's such a deep level of connection I have with people, that I think I was searching for my whole life. I'm not going to catch up on the weather or I just don't do well in those conversations. So having all these real people in my life is like my favorite part for sure.
Mm-hmm. Y'all are enjoying waking up.
Yes.
I have not unlocked that level of sobriety yet. That might be an outside issue. No, I mean, I really like how you said it, Dylan, was like being sober is my favorite part of being sober because it's such a different life. It'd be like, it's literally everything what life was like in active addiction, the opposite of that, that's my favorite part. Yeah. You know, being able to show up for people, be there for my family, be there for my friends, learning how to ask for help, accepting help when it's offered, you know, learning how to just be an adult, like be a big girl. And, you know, if someone hurt my feelings, tell them and not just go like beat around the bush about it and let them figure it out because they're not going to figure it out. Or if I offended somebody, bring it up, own it, and not just wait for them to say something when I clearly... they clearly had a problem with something that I did, and be like, hey, that I didn't do this great, and I'm sorry. Like, how can I make this up to you? You know, instead of just being like, do you want a chocolate bar? Because that's how I would always do it. It's like, I don't want to own up to my mistakes. I'll buy your forgiveness and it'll be okay. But yeah. So just learning how to be more grown about situations. Cause like in moments like that, I do feel like proud of myself, which is a really weird feeling. But yeah, I mean, there's not one thing that makes sobriety better than life before. It's just all of it, the whole collection.
Is it too late to change my answer? It's Chad, come on, dude, we got plenty of time. I'm just playing. Being able to authentically help somebody is a great feeling. Because you know that that's not possible. Like you can't show up here high. You can't go to, I mean, you can go to a meeting high, right? Mm-hmm. But that's like, that's weird. You know, you ain't about, you ain't about to help nobody. You about to get help. Pour them ashtrays out, boy. You know, put them chairs up, boy. Make some coffee. Anyway, so, but actually being
able
to.
Is this your trauma talking right now?
This is, yeah. Damn. But so being able to like, you know, like, come here or to actually like be authentic about helping somebody. You ain't about to be authentic, but boy, I'm gonna help that old lady cross the street because I'm about to get in that pocketbook. That's the type of stuff I was on back in the day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now it's like, holy shit, I don't want to help her slow ass get across the road, but I'm gonna do it because it's the right thing, you know? And then after doing it, you're like, damn, who the fuck is that guy? Like that ain't even me. But now you feel good after you do stuff like that. And that's that keeps me wanting to stay sober. So I'm like, man, I found something that kind of actually makes me feel good. You know, that's that, I redefined what my purpose was in life when I got sober, because I realized how awesome it was for somebody to just help me until I got over that obsession and until I, you know, bridged the gap. And then it was like, dang, that's what I want to do. I want to turn around. I want to help somebody like I was helped. And then, yeah, being sober, that's probably my favorite part. You get to help change people's lives like your life was changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, besides all the obvious stuff of not being hungover and not being sick, bloated, etc., for me, it's not feeling like I have to control everything, and also not being filled with so much anger and hatred that I didn't realize that I had before. And so like before, people would always say to me, you seem so patient and like positive and you like keep it together, especially at work. But I was completely putting on a show. I mean, I would always say, I'm like, I feel like I have three personalities. And I have like my work personality, then I have my sober personality, and then I have drunk me. And I mean, when I would get off work, I would be so drained and exhausted of putting on a show. And when I compare the conversations I have now versus the conversations I had before, I mean, I can swear.
Yeah.
I would just sit for hours and I'd be like, oh my God, person's so fucking stupid. This is so fucking ridiculous. This is full of shit. Da, 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 da. And it would just be like negative, 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 talking shit, talking shit, talking shit for hours. Nothing productive. Just complaining. And because I was so miserable with myself, and I would sit and like think, when am I going to be happy? So am I not going to be happy with this job, with this amount of money, with this car, with my own apartment? Well, I got a different apartment. And I never, no matter how big of a win I had, I was never happy. And so what I've learned, my favorite part about being sober, and I tried to get sober before, but I did not do the work that I've done this time around, because I still wasn't happy when I was sober before. I thought I was, because I'm like, I'm not hungover, I don't feel sick, but I wasn't actually happy. And now, you know, I celebrate all of the small wins. And like, if I don't get road rage during traffic, if I don't snap on someone, if I keep my negative comments to myself, if I can like work through a problem with someone, if I don't get triggered, like I am proud of myself. And like I just recently got a job, and I was proud of myself for just being able to get into work again. And I wasn't beating myself up of like, this isn't like my career, this isn't like the job that I need, this isn't like, I just feel joy. And that's my favorite part, like genuinely, because I spent so long chasing happiness because I thought there were certain tiers I had to hit, and I would get pissed because I'm like, why am I not freaking happy already? Like, I hated myself. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I think I just have like severe depression. I just have anxiety. No, you were just drunk and drinking and not sorting through your problems and masking it with more alcohol and alcohol and alcohol. So, you know, and I'm not going to lie, I mean, I liked drinking. Like, when people are like, oh, do you want to drink? I'm like, no, I don't drink because I love drinking too much. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, it got to the point where it wasn't fun anymore because I was, you know, I lost all control. But yeah, I didn't realize, you know, how truly miserable I was. Yeah. That's my favorite part.
I love that. What a great answer. Yeah. What about you?
Favorite part about being sober? There's a lot of it. Not having to worry every time you drive past the police. That's a big one. But really, I mean, the first thing that popped in my head when that question first got posed is my sangha, my community, my people. I mean, just the best people that I've ever met and had the pleasure of getting to know on a deeper level. A big one for me is that the recognition that my feelings and my needs are valid and important and worthwhile of being voiced. I spent years not doing that, and it feels good to feel, I guess, worthy enough to know that my needs are worthwhile being met.
All right. Liam, you're in the corner quiet, but I don't know that you want to answer anything. No. Okay. He didn't, last time he was put on the spot, and I could tell
he's too cool for us.
He's too cool. His life is a movie. Yeah. Well, I think it's hot.
It is.
And I think we've had a good session all together. I've certainly gotten something from each and every one of you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you guys all being here and the chance to communicate at this level. I'm sure that whatever's been said here will help somebody else when they listen or watch. And so anything unsaid that should be said?
I'm just jumping out of my seat. I'm so happy right now. I just don't show it, but I do appreciate you letting me sit here. This would have never happened if I was still drinking, like, ever. And it's been one of my goals to do something like this, so I'm really, really grateful. So I just wanted to say thank you,
because now you've done it in Spanish and English.
Yes. Yes,
that's awesome. All right. Well, I want to thank all the donors and sponsors who make this show, this building, this space possible. And reach out if you need help. You are worth the work. Thank you for listening and watching The Most High Show.